en el aire. Quédate con Miguel, el original. Los demás son copias mal hechas. Quédate con Miguel.
Darren, how are you? ¿Cómo estás?
Working hard, my friend. We know we have great challenges right now. Tenemos asuntos muy grandes en nuestra área y nuestra nación. We're trying to bring this coronavirus relief package in for a landing at the recuperación de coronavirus, and we're close. The House is at $2.2 trillion. The White House is now at $1.8 trillion, but President Trump is all over the place on this stuff. And then you have the Senate that still hasn't passed a bill. Tenemos una oferta de la Cámara de 2.2 mil mil millones de dólares y Presidente Trump con 1.8 mil mil millones, pero él está en todos los lugares. Él no tiene una, no está consistente. En el Senado todavía hace nada. They haven't done anything. So we're on 24-hour notice to go up for a vote, but we need to get it done. Regardless of the election.
Exactly. So let me ask you this before we get to the election. We are 19 days away from this election. Lo más importante ahora para mucha gente en este país ahora es el paquete de estímulo. Están ahora ya con el sexto mes de esta pandemia. No saben cómo pagar la renta. El día de hoy se reportan 890 mil otra vez jobless, trabajos perdidos. ¿Qué tiempo tú crees que podamos ver ya finalmente un paquete de estímulo para el país?
Yo espero en las próximas dos semanas, pero si Presidente Trump no puede tener un acuerdo antes de su elección, este va a estar un poquito después, en el mitad de noviembre. Pero es tan muy importante para decir, yo estoy listo ahora para votar por un compromiso. Y yo no quiero para esperar hasta elecciones. Nuestra gente necesita beneficios por empresarios pequeños, por desempleos, para asistencia de comida y hogares y también cheques de estímulos y para seguir nuestros primeros de auxilios, bomberos y policía y enfermeras y maestros en su trabajo. Entonces, yo espero ellos van a tener un compromiso hoy, pero si esto no ocurre en la próxima semana o dos, yo creo en temprano de noviembre. La cosa buena es nosotros podemos ver una extensión de beneficios de desempleos hasta enero o febrero o más, porque ellos dejan mucho tiempo. Y recuerda, la Cámara pasó nuestro proyecto de ley nuevo en julio y los republicanos esperan por meses y finalmente ellos están moviendo, pero hay mucho tiempo que no necesita ocurrir. You know, we passed our bill in July. We didn't have to wait this long. They're now moving finally at the last second because they realize that they're likely to lose this election because they haven't taken the coronavirus seriously. And the economic fallout to small businesses, to those unemployed and the like. And it didn't have to be this way, Fernando. You know, when Barack Obama and Joe Biden brought our country back with the struggles and fight of the American people back from the Great Recession, they handed the keys to Donald Trump to a good economy. And through his incompetence in the coronavirus, he's wrecked it. And now we have hundreds of thousands of people out of work, hundreds of thousands dead, and an economy that's in shambles right now. Until we get the virus under control, we're never going to get this done long term. And that's why in this package, there's also testing, tracing, treatment, and more money for a vaccine. Nosotros sabemos esta historia. Barack Obama y Joe Biden ayudan nuestra economía durante la Great Recession. Y ellos presentan una economía buena a Presidente Trump. Y él, con su negligencia y incompetencia, en el respuesta del coronavirus destruía nuestra economía y ahora tenemos cientos miles muertes y millones de personas sin trabajos y porque eso es demasiado loco, está difícil para negociar este próximo proyecto de ley para recuperación And so we really need steady leadership. At this point, you know, there's one way to go. It's with Uncle Joe, Theo Joe. And obviously he's the only one to plan for Puerto Rico. Trump hates Puerto Rico. I mean, do I have to even explain it after?
No, we know. I think we response? Know that
part.
Yes.
We don't have enough time in your show to explain all the things, but let me just say we allocated $42 billion for the recovery of Puerto Rico after Hurricane Maria, and they've gotten less than half, and it's been 3 years. That's on top of the largest death toll in the history of our nation, modern death toll in the history of our nation.
Right.
A disgrace. Más muertes de un desastre en la historia moderna de América que todos los otros desastres. Y nosotros presentamos $42 million en el presupuesto por Puerto Rico y todavía 3 años en el futuro ellos no reciben mitad de ese dinero. So it's a fight. And, you know, they've rolled out their new campaign today. As you see, we already have folks, by the way, from Puerto Rico who are volunteering to call Florida Ricans. I just was with the Puerto Rico College Democrats, and they're spending days on end calling Florida members, Florida citizens of Puerto Rican descent to vote for Joe Biden in the election. And now it's Hazlo por mí, Hazlo por ti, that just got rolled out today.
Right.
I know. What do you think of that ad? I know we talked a little bit about it.
But me encantó. Yo creo que por años, I've been saying that on the radio show, que el puertorriqueño en este país no tan solo se mudó para acá por la razón que fuese, ¿no? Por la economía, más espacio, mejor trabajo. Pero tenemos el día de hoy lo que es una inmensa responsabilidad de defender a aquel que no puede hablar todavía, de atender a aquel pedido del puertorriqueño que vive en Puerto Rico que aún no puede hablar. So, el votante boricua que se mudó para acá en los 90, 2000, hasta ahora, tenemos una doble carga, una doble responsabilidad.
Sí,
de
claro.
Ser la voz de aquel borincano que no puede hablar todavía. Y ese comercial básicamente captura todo eso.
Sí, y es directamente al punto. Nosotros tenemos una responsabilidad a puertorriqueños por Florida Central. Sí, claro que sí. Y también por nuestras hermanas y hermanos en Puerto Rico, quien no tiene una vota por presidente. Y ellos tienen grandes problemas como nosotros. Y ambos están causados la incompetencia de Donald Trump. And all the other modern nations in the world, all the other industrialized nations, we have more deaths and we have more cases. And we're supposed to be the most prosperous nation in the world. There's only
How does that happen? Because right now we have today just died about 1,000 people just died today.
Every other country had strong centralized leadership at the federal level to have a strong centralized response. We have an incompetent president who refused to take responsibility and put it on all the 50 states. You can't do that because people could be sick in one state and just travel to the next state.
Right.
It makes no sense. Right. You know, to have a 50-state solution for something, you're not going to stop people from going state to state. We're Americans. We have our right to go to any state. I can move tomorrow. You can move tomorrow. Puerto Ricans on the island can move tomorrow. Y esta es la diferencia. Por todos los otros países industriales, ellos tienen una respuesta federal, central, muy fuerte. Y muy estricto con liderazgo fuerte. Y en ese país, nosotros tenemos un presidente quien es incompetente, tiene incompetencia y no quiere para tener responsabilidad. Él literalmente dice, yo no voy a tener responsabilidad. Y él, en la ley nosotros pasamos, el CARES Act, nosotros demandamos por un plan nacional. Él presenta 50 planes por 50 estados. Es increíble. Y esa es la razón, porque nosotros no tenemos un líder fuerte en la Casa Blanca. Y Joe Biden es diferente. Nosotros sabemos, él es en serio. Él respeta ciencia. Él respeta hechos. Él respeta expertos. Él respeta la comunidad hispana. Y sabe, nosotros no podemos tener un líder quien va a decir mentira después de mentira y para esperar por progreso en una situación. Nosotros necesitamos un presidente honesto, que va a decir la verdad y decir, esta es una situación difícil, pero nosotros tenemos el poder para derrotarlo si nosotros trabajamos juntos.
Yo le comentaba a un amigo republicano y le decía, mira, yo honestamente extraño al Partido Republicano, extraño el pensamiento conservador, porque lógicamente hace falta por un balance de gobierno. Lamentablemente hemos perdido eso y se ha convertido ahora este partido ahora en Trump Party. It's just impossible to govern.
It's a cult. It's a cult now. And that's why we're getting moderate Republicans voting for us now, because at this point, it's country over party. We need a competent president. We're in the midst of a crisis.
Right.
And we have a former reality star and failed businessman as our president. It's no longer funny or tragic. It is now destroying America. And for anybody who thinks, oh, the government doesn't matter, okay, in times that are good, it doesn't matter as much. Although you still want your garbage picked up, you still want roads, you still want schools working, you still want fair trade, you still want regulations so you can do your businesses. But during a bad situation, it really, really, really matters.
I haven't asked you about Joe Biden's plan. For the first time, we heard about Joe Biden's plan for Puerto Rico a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this, as a Puerto Rican, I am inspired. I am happy. Finally, so we can talk about this status thing for Puerto Rico and not be treated as a second-class citizen. And I think that regardless of what party you think is right on Puerto Rico, I think we can all agree that this has to be fixed. And I think the way to do this is through Joe Biden.
Yes. And we're seeing, first of all, he's the first presidential candidate to put out a Puerto Rican plan.
Right.
I mean, think about it. 3.2 million Americans and no plan for them. For generations, this has to stop. And nosotros no tenemos presentes antes este candidato de Joe Biden con un plan. Y necesito un plan para el futuro de Puerto Rico. And remember, even though we get dragged into the status debates and we all have our opinions on those, let's start with important things that there are no plans for right now.
Mm-hmm.
Getting PROMESA wound down and over with. Getting the rest of the relief to Puerto Rico after Hurricane Maria and Hurricane Irma.
Right.
Fixing the economy down there that's been in a recession well before Hurricane Maria ever hit.
You're right.
We know that.
Yeah.
And then making sure that we could get the relief for the earthquakes as well. Those are all key parts. Expanding the agriculture sector that we've talked about on this call a couple times, that if Puerto Rico produced more than 25% of its food, all that money would stay in Puerto Rico. It'd be billions in new funding that they don't even need to trade with, even with that one mango leaving the island or one plantain. They could make billions just by doing more of their own food with a 24/7 growing season. And of course, the renewable energy aspect, getting to 100% renewable by 2050. We have to support them in that. We have to support America in that. En español, hay muchas partes de este plan y muy importante en adición de estatus. Recuperación por después de Hurricane Maria, más pronto, porque ahora está esperando por todo el futuro para este resultado. Ellos reciben menos mitad del dinero en 3 años y necesita para arreglar esta economía ahí, para aumentar manufacturando, aumentando agricultura moderna, modern agriculture. Y también necesita para terminar esta promesa. En el mínimo tiene un plan para reforma y para terminación en el futuro muy pronto, con un audita, con más deudas que ellos pueden terminar. Por ejemplo, deudas sin seguros. Unsecured debts under the new plan would be dischargeable and completely. Este puede ahorrar Puerto Rico miles de millones de dólares. Para definir definición de servicios esenciales, para proteger servicios de salud, seguro público, Universidad de Puerto Rico, pensiones. ¿Cuántas personas en Florida Central tiene pensiones de Puerto Rico. Miles y miles. Y este es una exención de estas cortes de reformas éticas. Por no puede tener conflictos de interés y el presupuesto por promesa va a estar del presupuesto federal, no del de presupuesto de Puerto Rico, quien tiene problemas ya. Entonces, hay muchos asuntos donde hay muchas personas en acuerdo, pero nadie está haciendo nada en esta administración. Porque...
Bueno, déjame preguntarte, maybe you can see the same way I see it.
Yeah.
Yo creo que, I think you and I are the product of Puerto Rico being so poor. Back in the 50s,
sure.
The same thing has happened. We had left the island because of lack of good paying jobs.
Sure.
And I think your president in Congress, mine here in Orlando, is a product of that. We are here not because we want to, it's because we had to run.
Sure.
So the island has been stuck in this mode of poverty for the last, 50, 60, 70 years?
Sure. And this is the thing. So my grandfather left Puerto Rico in the Manatee area in the 50s because he wasn't making 7 cents a day cutting sugar.
Right. Anymore.
And then my father spent his first 5 or 6 years on the family farm in Manatee before joining him in the mainland, along with the rest of his brothers and sisters, in the 50s in Paterson, New Jersey. In fact, if anybody wants to see my Facebook page, they'll see a picture of my dad and some of my great uncles in their Boy Scout troop in Paterson, New Jersey. And he says, Puerto Ricans discover the Boy Scouts. And they're all sitting there, 7, 8 years old or 10 years old. It's just beautiful. But my dad just had his 75th birthday. So I wanted to show everybody, you know, part of our heritage.
Happy birthday.
But these were all, these were all parts of, so we know and they're just not equal. So, okay, we plan this plebiscite where it's going to be a simple question, statehood yes or no, in a general election, and let the chips fall where they may. If people vote yes, I'm going to move holy hell and earth to make it happen. If people vote no, I will respect it, and we won't be touching that issue. We'll work on all the other issues. We're going to work on all those other issues anyway. But this is the thing. Part of me thinks, would it all have been this way if we had 2 U.S. senators and 4 members of Congress fighting, particularly on the hurricane relief and all that, you know, I mean, and then people, let's step back from all the intricacies we debate. This is about Hispanic power in the country. We would have the first majority Hispanic state. New Mexico is pretty close, 49%, but we'd be the first majority Hispanic state. And then D.C. would be the first African-American majority state. Think of what that says about our nation. But it flows from the island. As much as we in the diaspora can vote, hazlo por ti, hazlo por mí, that campaign, por ellos, that campaign's going on. But in this one, this has to be the decision of the island. Nosotros sabemos, estos asuntos muy difíciles, los huracanes, la recesión económica y COVID y todas
esas terremotos.
Terremotos y promesa. Y yo pensé en mis pensamientos, si este va a ocurrir de la misma manera, si ellos tienen 2 senadores y 4 representantes. Y yo no creo, este va a estar el mismo. Pero en el fin, esta es la decisión de la isla. La diáspora está aquí para apoyar por un presidente nuevo que va a ayudar a Puerto Rico, pero la decisión por status es por el pueblo en la isla.
Puerto Rico.
Y yo voy a respetar su respuesta si es sí. Yo voy a empujar muy duro para admitirlos en el próximo termo. And we have Biden saying yes. We have Chuck Schumer saying yes. I mean, the path has moved over the last few weeks in a way those who aren't paying attention would be just flabbergasted.
Right.
And I think that's not something everybody's watching as closely as you or I. The path has emerged, which is why I did my op-ed in Puerto Rico to explain that to everybody. I mean, Biden just moved saying, okay, if they vote yes, okay. Schumer, even with New York being more divided than we are on the issue, comes out. He could be the majority leader next year. And then we have a majority of the entire Florida Democratic delegation signing under my resolution that simply says, if they vote yes, we need to admit them. If they vote no, we need to respect that too. And that's why it's their decision. But hay una manera está llegando ahora muy pronto en el último semanas. Barack Obama también con su discurso en el funeral de John Lewis describe representación igual por DC y Puerto Rico. So we do need to vote for ourselves here in Central Florida and for those of our brothers and sisters back on the island.
Let me ask you this now about this upcoming election. We have an election that, oh, Jesus Christ, it's been a mess since the beginning, at least from the side of President Trump, which is daily putting doubt on the election and the process and the voting by mail and early voting. What do you think is going to happen on the 3rd of November? Are we going to have a solution? Who's the president next on that day? Or is it going to come out to 4 or 3 days of counting votes? Because the lines are massive outside. Today, I've seen lines that are massive in different states that are voting early.
So if a few states that are swing states aren't close, it's over on election night. Tie a bow on it, it's done. So if Biden wins Florida, and we'll have most of our turnout in by about 9 o'clock on election night, because we count our votes before the election, unlike many other states.
Right.
So if Biden wins Florida, it's over. And it, really, if he wins Florida by 60,000 votes or more, which is expected to be the 0.5% of the 12 million plus people who will vote in this next election. And think about that. There's probably about 15 million or so people eligible, but there'll still be inevitably 3 or 4 million people who don't vote. Like, mind boggling. But if Florida's decided for Biden, it's over, because Trump has no way to win without Florida. If Trump wins Florida, then it could be a long night, because Pennsylvania allows it to be postdated for election day. And that's one of the big swing states. And they could be counting their ballots until a few days later. And then Michigan and Wisconsin will both be close, but they have different rules, and they could still be counting some vote by mail ballots, because they don't count their votes before election day like we do. So even if they have them having them all in, they still got a lot of voting counting to do that we wouldn't have to do, because we count our votes before the election. North Carolina would be decided much quicker because they count them before the election, I just read too. Arizona, and it also matters how close it is. If there's like 8-10% of the vote that still needs to count, and yet it's in Philadelphia and Biden's already ahead, well, it's over, you know, because Trump's not going to win in Philadelphia or in Pittsburgh, you know, he's going to win in other areas. So the projections are also based upon what votes are left to count too. So, if Florida is decided on election, if Biden wins Florida, it'll be a short night for the presidency, but it'll be still a long night for the Senate, because the Senate very well could flip to the Democrats, which is
right.
Where this,
and that's my next question.
Which is where
you have a great chance.
Which is where this path forms. You have the minority leader who could soon be the majority leader of the Senate saying, from New York, where you have some of the Congress members supportive of it, some not, saying if they vote yes,
right,
I'd put the bill on the floor. I mean, he said that already. And then you have Biden saying it. But again, it's the decision of the Puerto Rican people. I may have my personal opinions, but it all flows from democracy. We could have our opinions, but they need to decide. And it needs to be a simple question in a general election ballot. Huge turnout, simple question. Let the chips fall where they may. But if Florida is super close, like under 60,000 votes, that could be a while, just like with our Senate race. But understand this: we have laws that worked in 2018, which is why it took a little while. If it's under 0.5%, think about that, 0.5%, then you have a machine recount by law, because it's too darn close to not have a machine recount.
And if it's
under automatically by law. And if it's under 0.1%, not 1%, 0.1%, we have a hand recount, which is what we had for two races. For Nikki Fried's race, where the Democrat won for Ag Commissioner, and in the Senate race, where Rick Scott won, the Republican, by less than 10,000 votes out of 8.5 million. And so if people don't think their votes count, holy cow, they count so much here in Florida. If
su
vota
have a good chance of,
es muy importante en Florida. Muy, muy importante. Yeah. Porque estas elecciones va decidir a 0.1%, 0.5%, la diferencia. Entonces, Boricua necesita por nosotros votar.
You have a good chance of flipping the Senate, también. And we have a great chance of winning the White House. En tu opinión, ¿qué tú sentirías como poder ahora, teniendo control tanto de la Cámara Baja como la Cámara Alta y también lo que es la presidencia?
Primero, nosotros necesitamos pasar un proyecto de ley para asegurar una vaccinación por coronavirus y hacer este gratis. Necesita recuperación por negocios pequeños y desempleos. Necesita para asistencia por comida y hogares y para estados seguir nuestros primeros de auxilios en el trabajo. Y necesita pasar un plan de infraestructura nacional para primero mejorar nuestra nación, nuestros puertos, para expandir I-4 hasta Polk County y hasta Seminole County. Necesita expandir SunRail y Brightline. Necesita para tener más casas afordables, más acceso de estas casas, porque este es un gran problema. Nosotros podemos ayudar con infraestructura para hacer un sistema eléctrico más moderno con energía renovable, ayudar nuestras autopistas por carros eléctricos. Y nosotros podemos usar este momento para mejorar nuestro país, para atacar cambio de clima y para tener millones de trabajos por personas que no tienen trabajos ahora. Hay miles de nuestros vecinos en Florida Central que no va a tener un trabajo para regresar en turismo por meses a un año o más. Entonces, necesitamos derrotar el coronavirus, tener recuperación y para especialmente tener una plan de infraestructura. Y hay otras cosas que nosotros necesitamos. Posiblemente admitiendo dos estados nuevos. Posiblemente limitación de termas en la Corte Suprema. Porque ahora ellos sirven por toda su vida y este no es la idea de nuestros forefathers de esta nación. Entonces, limitaciones de termas en la Corte Suprema es una otra cosa.
Una de las cosas que pasa cuando when you get in power and when you're in power now, well, the chip file on you guys now, en el evento que ganemos esta elección en enero. Por ejemplo, una pregunta, congresista, en el tema de migración, sí. Por ejemplo, ¿van a parar lo que es la maldita muralla esta ridícula? ¿Vamos a parar lo que es la separación de niños nuestros en la frontera, metidos hoy en calabozos?
Primero, nosotros podemos pasar muy fácil un proyecto de ley para prohibir dividiendo familias inmigrantes. Yo creo Biden no va a hacerlo, pero necesita pasar y este va a pasar muy fácil. Porque este paso pasó la Cámara ya, este tema, con todos los demócratas. Okay. Por una inmigración, nosotros vamos a empujar por los Dreamers en DACA, para TPS, para una manera para ser un ciudadano, para ayudar con los trabajadores de fincas, una visa de 5 años para ayudar, porque ellos necesitan regresar cada año ahora. Este puede ayudar a agricultura en Florida y los trabajadores también. Y si ellos están allí por 10 años, tienen una posibilidad por residencia y ciudadanía también. Nosotros vamos a tratar por DAPA también. Este es miembros de la familia de ciudadanos y Dreamers. Entonces, yo voy a luchar en el mínimo por el 4 y poquito más millón immigrantes en esos programas. Dreamers, TPS, DAPA, farm workers. Y nosotros vamos a tratar por más, pero entiende, necesita todavía para pasar la Cámara, el Senado y pasar en la ley, porque nosotros no queremos para esperar por otros 12 años. El último tiempo, este era posible, es en 2009, en el primer año de el presidencia de Barack Obama. So we're not going to wait forever. We got to get what we can and pass it
right.
And improve on it from there. But the plan that I said with DACA, DAPA, TPS, and farm workers, that's over 4 million people. And that I think we could pass it to the House. It's going to be hard once we get beyond that. Because there's 11 million immigrants in the nation that are here undocumented.
Bueno, contamos. So, también contamos ahora con la gente también de sí. Venezuela que sigue esperando lo que es un TPS todavía. Un grupo de gente que viene por años largos sí, sufriendo lo que es la pérdida de su país y que se mudan para acá buscando la esperanza que este país era antes, pero que lamentablemente lo hemos perdido con Trump en la Casa Blanca.
Sí. Primero, Joe Biden va a firmar TPS para venezolanos. No va a necesitar otro proyecto de ley. Y ustedes saben, yo soy el endorso de este proyecto de ley. Yo pasé este proyecto de ley afuera de la Cámara y el Senado hace nada. Y el presidente Trump hace nada. Biden, con una firma, en día uno, va a presentar TPS, protecciones por venezolanos. También, él va a apoyar presidente interim Guaidó. Trump decide cada día una posición diferente. Y este es claro. Nosotros sabemos la verdad. La verdad. Y también nosotros vamos a usar el poder del NU para empujar por elecciones nuevas. Trump dice mucho, pero no hace nada. He always has dangled this idea that he's going to go to war and take out Maduro and he gets some of the real right-winger Venezuelans excited about that. That's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. We're trying to get out of wars. We're not getting into wars. And if we were going to do that, we would have done that in Cuba a long time ago. We're not getting into wars. We're getting out of wars. So he exploits their pain by dangling this fact that he's going to go in with, like, the army and conquer Venezuela. The only way we're going to save Venezuela is by putting so much pressure on them by the entire world that they do free elections and Maduro's gone. Este es la solución es en el NU y presión diplomáticamente porque Trump no va a hacer una guerra y Biden seguramente no va a hacer una guerra contra Venezuela. The only war that would happen is if the Venezuelan people had a revolution. And certainly we'd support them in that, in humanitarian aid and things like that. But let's talk about the facts. Biden would support TPS. Biden unequivocally supports Guaido. He doesn't say he's going to negotiate with Maduro. And Biden will do something real by working through the UN rather than pretend, like Trump says, that he's going to go to war with Venezuela secretly, when that was never going to happen. It was a lie. It's always been a lie. It was never going to happen. They just wanted to, like, pretend so that people would feel like, you know, particularly it was persuasive to conservative Venezuelan men. But let's see the facts. He's been there 4 years. There's been no war. There's no war coming. Most of Congress, most of the Senate, we don't support a war. We're getting out of this.
Plus, they also have a map from the Cubans back in the 60s. The same thing they did with the Republican Party. They kept Cuba, Viva Cuba Libre. And Fidel died of old age.
Yeah.
And almost, 60 years after the fact, and it's still there still. They just use that thing just to, you know, the pain of the Cuban people for their political advantage. That's it. Same thing's happening now.
Sure.
With Venezuela.
Now, we need to do a similar thing in Cuba. Right now, we have a strong policy to try to bring the administration to its knees down there, the dictatorship that they have. Mm-hmm. But Europe doesn't participate in that. We know Russia and China aren't going to follow our lead. They're our rivals. But we really need to work on getting Europe involved in it to really get that government from the being able to hang on any longer. And they're the reason why Maduro is still in power anyway. He was going to give up, and the Cuban operatives were the ones, we know this, were the ones who told him, just stay in that bunker. The Yankees will give up. They're not going to go to war. And I could have told him, I mean, you didn't need a Cuban operative to know that. We weren't going to go to war. We were never going to go to war. And so, but there is a right way to do that. It's through the UN. It's through the Congress of Americas, and everybody getting on the same page, because we can't have a renegade Venezuela or Cuba, nor can we go back to the World War II days where we would put CIA operatives in it. Look at how much good that did. That wreaked disaster across Central and South America. Yeah. Everywhere the CIA touched in Central and South America made it worse, because it created extremisms. Yeah. If they took out the left-wing guy, the extreme right-wing guy gets in. If they take out the extreme right-wing guy, the extreme left-wing guy gets in. So that's why this idea of military intervention, it's just the worst. And notice how their politics, ours have become extreme as of late, but their politics are much more extreme. There's no middle in a lot of those countries. And that's one of the reasons we started the destabilization. Now, it's starting to be decades later. We stopped doing that in the 80s for the most part. So it's starting to be like they need to get their acts together, and some have, you know, and then another key aspect of the Biden administration is investing in economic development and stability in Central America. Again, that's where most of the folks who are trying to get over the border unlawfully are from. They're from Guatemala. They're from El Salvador. They're from different areas, Nicaragua, because they don't want their sons and daughters brought into the drug cartel and killed. And they don't want their daughters to be enslaved in sex trafficking. So they take this walk all the way through Mexico to the border and try to come across for a better life rather than death for their kids. And we used to have $300 to $500 million in foreign aid to help stabilize those countries. And it went away with Trump. He takes away the money to stabilize the region and then balks when they do the same things they were doing before that, which is en masse going to the border to escape tyranny and drug cartels. I mean, it's you just light the fire and then you scream fire. It's just.
Déjame preguntarte una última pregunta. Y thank you for your time. You're giving me el tiempo completo que he pedido. So, muchas gracias, congresista. Esta última pregunta. This is going to be a whopper. So, en el evento de que se pierda esta Casa Blanca y Trump salga de la Casa Blanca, y encontremos en el futuro claramente actos de criminal por parte de esta Casa Blanca, Bill Barr, Trump y todo el mundo en ese gobierno, ¿estará dispuesto la Cámara y el Senado estadounidense a erradicar de cargos criminales en contra de él?
Nosotros necesitamos determinar en esa situación. Primero, demócratas, solamente tenemos partes del gobierno, la Cámara. Literalmente, el Departamento de Justicia, esta es una nominación del presidente. Entonces, la elección del presidente causa la definición de justicia y la persona quien puede enforzarlo. Entonces, está imposible para tener en la situación de que Trump gana para tener justicia. Si Biden gana, este depende en la situación, porque hay muchas acciones criminales que ocurren, pero nosotros tenemos muchos asuntos necesitamos arreglar ahora. Coronavirus, desarrollo económico. Entonces, yo no estoy seguro cuántas personas, I mean, you know, already half his administration's already been indicted under his own administration. So it's not like there wouldn't be indictments. There already are indictments. But Joe Biden's running to unite the country and to get us beyond the daily exhaustion of the criminal racket that is the Trump administration. So I don't know how much they're going to want to dwell on everything, but there will be some things that will be looked at. There's no doubt about it. But that won't be the focus. The focus is getting a president that represents all Americans again, un presidente quien va a representar, Joe Biden va a estar un presidente quien representa a todos los americanos, incluyendo la comunidad hispana, va a derrotar el COVID-19, va a pasar recuperación económica y va a tener un plan para construir otra vez más mejor, con infraestructura, justicia, escuelas, expandiendo acceso de servicios de salud y para combatir cambio de clima en todos estos otros asuntos muy importantes por el futuro de Florida Central y por toda nuestra nación. Gracias por esta oportunidad, hermano. Well, it's my pleasure. Very es good. Mi placer, hermano.
Gracias, hermano. Un abrazo.
Y mi boricua, vota. Boricua, vota. Boricua, vota. Gracias, Fernando.
A ti.
Hasta luego.
Gracias, hasta luego.